Assassinorum, The Emperor's Judgment, by Joe Perino. Performed by Robin Bowerman, Ian Brooker, Beth Chalmers, Jonathan Keeble, and Tanya Rodriguez. There was a pain in Clara Rasik's flank, and with it, a deep sense of wrongness that the perfection of her body was compromised. She almost sucked in air, a brief, agony-laden gasp that would have been drowned in the noise from this loathsome crowd. She would not take that gasp. She would not give voice to the pain.
How's that injury?
Kure Adamta was an operative of the Vanis Temple. His voice was scratchy, filled with the ever-present ember of low smoke. Every word that crept through his smoke-stained teeth was the truth as he saw it, the information gathered as his stock in trade.
Same as it was last time you asked.
The wound, received months before on Imba, would not heal. It stood out on her body, hidden now, but the only part of her that would not change when she needed it. It impacted her work, both psychologically and physically. What's more, it brought anger and a desire for vengeance, distractions that she could ill afford. Clara Rasik was an assassin of the Calidus Temple. She was used to end wars before they started, to de-escalate and destroy. Her hand had stolen thousands of lives in the name of her temple, the High Lords of Terror and the Imperium of Man. Dark clouds covered the sky as day began its inexorable climb into night. The last rays of the dying sun, breaking free briefly from the glowering chokehold, bounced off roofs of slate and gold. Despite the gloom that consumed this world, a massive crowd gathered and waited. Raindrops slipped from the grey skies, splashing down against gold vestments and pilgrim hair shirts.
Which Primarch are you supposed to be?
Clara wore silver and black, while white wings stood proud from her shoulders. The feathers ruffled quietly as gusts of wind drifted through the vast plaza. Clara Rasik wore the body of a man disguised as an angel, a Primarch, one of the Emperor's own sons.
The Iron Gorgon, I think, from the Black and Silver.
With the divergent faiths of the Imperial Ecclesiarchy, it was hard to tell. The crowd jostled with barely held anticipation. There was something wrong with the prayers that drifted across the plaza. Something subtly off. Rasik ignored it. The details of the heresy that had gripped this world were irrelevant. Her target was all that mattered. She waited here, on the shrine world of Tevrat, to take the life of a man whose death was ordained. She never questioned the reasons or motives for her work. She simply acted. Weapons did not question the hand that wielded them. Her mark basked in the adulation of the crowd. He was broad and heavily muscled, garbed in the elaborate robes of the Ecclesiarchy. His name was Urien, Principos Urien, the 22nd. A florid man, Urien was approaching his second century of age. In the flesh, he seemed every inch the saint he claimed to be. His words had garnered interest, drawing attention in circles that listened for such things. Shadows had tailed him, searching for the truth of this man's thoughts and deeds. He was found wanting. He was found to be a risk. Urien spoke. His words, great declamations to a crowd that could barely hear him, were inspiring, delivered in a deep bass tone that demanded attention.
The end is coming. The Emperor, corpse flesh writhing on a destitute throne, is dead. The end comes. It comes for you. It comes for me. The great eye opens, and the warriors of righteousness stride forth once more.
He preached heresy.
We must prepare the way. Open the path so that they might not sully their steps with the pagan filth that afflicts our species. The Imperium teaches that the Emperor had 9 sons. 9 holy protectors to act as his servants and intercede on our behalf. I have preached such for much of my life. You have been deceived. I have deceived you.
His voice boomed, speaking to some otherworldly yearning in the human soul.
The Emperor had more than 9 sons. Once there were 18. 9 stood loyal to the great lie. Others gave way to truth, accepting a brighter path, a righteous path for humanity's future. Even now, their own sons watch us, judge us for our worthiness. They are coming. They are bound to hear our pleas for salvation and bring us aid.
Such heresy. Such utter, complete, and unrepentant heresy. Every word dripped with the vile vehemence that consumed those sworn to the ruinous powers. Rusik resisted the urge to yawn.
Always the same, isn't it?
The assassins had heard variations on the same theme countless times before. Traitors love to hear the sounds of their own voice, to vent the heresy that polluted their minds and draw more into their corrupt webs.
Funny how they all speak the truth.
Rusik knew in her heart that they lied.
The God Emperor only had 9 sons. All the records agree.
Well, you know how records can be manipulated.
Such manipulations were amongst the Vanus Assassin's tools. Adamta's mind and body had been sculpted into a tool for understanding and utilizing data, as Rusik's had been for infiltration and deception. His current assignment was to help Rusik, to find her targets and how best to end them. In this case, she was waiting for the height of the speech. Rusik wanted to cause the maximum spectacle of Imperial retribution. Yurian was almost making it too easy. In his zeal for pomp and circumstance, this would-be saint had engineered the perfect opportunity. Rusik stood assembled with representations of the Emperor's 9 sons, there to add legitimacy and credence to the weight of Yurian's words. A reminder that the throne approved of all this holy man would say. But he was no saint, and he would be dead within the next 3 minutes. Rusik counted the seconds, ticking them away within her head, sub-vocally broadcasting them to orbit above. Adamta listened, as he always listened. Rusik could hear his heavy breathing, his chain smoker's wheeze in her ear. It had long ceased to be irritating, blending into the background noise of her life. It merely was.
Based on captures of his previous speeches, it might be about time to strike Rusik.
Almost. Just a few moments.
Everything she knew about the Vanus Assassin was guesswork, a blend of intuition and inference. In the time they had spent on the same missions, Rusik had never seen him in the flesh. Aboard the cramped halls of the Traducium, he avoided her, locked in a private wing. Where he was from, she only guessed at. He had an accent, but what world it emerged from, she would likely never know. Every word the Vanus spoke was uttered with the assurance of a sniper's bullet. She winced at the metaphor, felt the pain carve into her side, but it was true and honest. Each of the Officio Assassinorum's temples had its methods of slaying the Emperor's foes. Urien, the would-be saint, raised his arms, gesturing to the great disc of the sun that hid behind its chain of grey cloud. The crowd roared, taking Urien's upraised arms as a sign that they were now invited to participate. Streamers showered from above, purple, gold, and green. Fire streaked through the sky. Urien was, Russick reflected, her favorite type of mark. The Ecclesiarchy always brought with it such ceremony. And when its servants died, it was always with confusion and fear marring their features. Such hubris haunted those who preached the Imperial Creed. Another sound, familiar and unexpected, came from the distance. Gunshots, the echoing reports of a bolt pistol. Ripples of unease and fear lanced through the mob of zealots. Russick watched as people jostled, then bodies flew.
Adanta, what's happening? I hear gunshots.
I was going to ask you that. I'll check the local voxnets.
Adanta's voice was puzzled. It was rare to hear that, but Russick had no time to enjoy it. She kept her focus on her mark, who had lowered his arms and was peering into the crowd in confusion. This was her chance. Russick licked her lips beneath her mask, the gesture subconscious and loathsome, a holdover trait from the genetic memory of the man her body currently mimicked. At her wrist, a blade of dark green metal sliced through the skin. She took a step forward. The other angels around her jostled. Their masks, carved to resemble the Emperor's other eight sons, betrayed no expression.
You are in my way!
The blade spoke through flesh. The man dressed as the Blood Angel, Sanguinius, hissed as cold steel punched through his gullet with a wet, broken sound of meat and bone. Blood flowed.
Too slow. How boring it must be to be normal, to be so slow and unresponsive.
The ersatz primarchs began to turn. Ceremonial blades leapt into hands unused to their weight, gilded things carried by gilded men. They turned on her, the traitor in their midst. Russick smiled beneath her heavy mask. The guard dressed as the Avenging Sun, or perhaps the Praetorian, she wasn't sure which, crumpled and fell as a small dagger caressed his neck. The silver blade, wet with poison, cut through makeup, skin, flesh, and bone. Another of the other would-be angels lunged at her, his decorative sword aimed at her neck. Russick stepped aside out of the blow and stabbed him, blade lancing into his liver. He fell with a muffled cry. The others, all members of Urien's personal guard, attacked. Russick's movements were poetry and death, barely slowed by the old wound in her side. She danced through the gaudily clad guards, and blood followed in her wake. Wherever her phase sword struck, body parts, severed and twitching, fell like rain. Russick was untouchable, unstained by the massacre she wreaked. When it was over, and the only living things on the balcony were her and her mark, she spoke.
Principus Urien the 22nd.
Urien turned, alarm writ comically large against his paling flesh. He saw Russick, garbed in the guise of the Iron Gorgon. His eyes drifted to the sword hanging from her wrist and the corpses that littered the balcony.
Guards!
He began to back away, fear flowing from him in waves.
Guards! I am under attack!
No, Urien. You are dead. I am the Emperor's judgment made manifest.
The light of piety slipped from his gaze. Something ugly took its place. Heresy lurked beneath his saintly surface, dark and malignant like a cancer. Sudden stress and fear brought it snarling into the light. His features shifted, the skin splitting, and wet, rancid meat glared at her. The thing that had been Urien took a step towards Russick, and a needle struck it in the raw flesh of its neck. Its eyes glazed, and it toppled to its knees.
Adanta, someone just shot my mark. What is going on?
Someone what?
The faint gunfire in the crowd rose in staccato bursts of popping noise. Whoever was firing was coming closer. People screamed in terror. Beneath their fear-racked cries, Rasset could hear a deep and ghoulish laughter.
Is that laughter? What's going on down there?
Guards lined up at the lip of the balcony, firing volleys of las bolts into the wailing crowd, trying to kill whatever was approaching. On the balcony, the Urian mutant swayed, still on its knees. The would-be saint murmured, voice slipping into a language mankind was never meant to utter, and speaking words that itched at the edges of Rasik's consciousness. She ignored them. She ignored the spines that erupted from his body, the rampant mutation that revealed itself.
I don't know, but I'm ending this now.
Acknowledged.
Rasik flew towards him. Her every movement, her every step, was beyond economy. It was artistry, perfection, sublime. She was the Emperor's judgment, rendered manifest in the form of one of his own sons. The symbolism was beautiful. Her phase sword was outstretched, ready to deliver the traitor's end. The blow never landed. Rasik heard a single bolt pistol report, and Urien's body fell forward, dark blood gouting from what had been its head. She pulled back, and her eyes locked on a lithe figure moving through the crowd, casually lashing out with a power sword and clawed gauntlet. Its face was a skull, a red glow coming from the eye sockets.
Rasik, is it done? Is the target down?
Yes, but it wasn't me. There's another agent here, Adanta. Another assassin.
Another? That's impossible. Why would the officio have sent another agent?
Rasik watched as the black-clad figure leapt up onto the balcony. She took a step backwards as its leering death's head turned towards her.
I don't know, but it's standing right in front of me.
Is it?
No! Not Evindekari, not this time. Adanta, it's an Eversaur.
The Eversaur raised its pistol and fired. A bolt shell glanced off Rasik's mask, the detonation nearly shattering the heavy steel. Needles flew from the weapon's other barrel. She raised her phase sword and desperately deflected them.
Secondary stress identified.
Why are you here? This was my mission, my kill.
She had been tasked with this execution. Her professionalism dictated that her blade must be the one to claim the would-be saint's life. She had never failed a mission before.
My mission!
The Eversaur reached for her with his neuro-gauntlet, knife-like fingers curling.
My kill!
She could hear a flash of pain in his voice beneath the heavy slur of whatever combat drugs coursed through his system. His mind was addled, perhaps gone. The Eversaur were never the most reliable tools. Drugs defined them, made them an inconstant weapon that lacked precision and lacked discipline. They were kept sedated or frozen between missions and unleashed on enemy where terror was the goal. If Rasik was a dagger slipping between ribs, an Eversaur was a bomb. Urien's body writhed between them, flesh dancing, somehow still alive. Spikes of bone split from the saint's flesh, bursting through meat. The spines lashed out, dripping some vile, pale fluid. The Eversaur cut through one and grabbed the edge of the saint's robe.
My kill. What are you?
Surprise rippled through her composure. Did he even know she was a fellow assassin?
You are still disguised, Rasset. He thinks you're a guard. Show him who you really are.
Adanta was right. She was still wearing the body of the guard who had portrayed the Gorgon. She concentrated, and her form shifted, bones cracking and flesh remolding as her body reverted back to its natural feminine shape.
I am an agent of the Officio as well.
The Eversaw ignored her, staring down at the mutating body on the ground. Mouths opened along the curve of its spine and snapped at the Eversaw with jagged teeth. He snatched back his hand. The creature that had been Urien stumbled up onto stalked legs. A rippling face frowned from its torso, with a mouth filled with brown and rotten teeth.
Face the judgment of the righteous.
His voice, grotesquely, was the same. The mutant lashed out with claw-bladed appendages. The Eversaw raised his pistol and shot it through the mouth. It fell back to the ground and writhed in agony.
Enough! Die!
As he reached for the saint again, the Eversaw pointed his executioner pistol at Russick, quivering with unreleased anger. The weapon coughed and needles stitched at her, flying through the air in barely visible blurs. Russick flung herself to the ground, rolled, and threw a poison dagger. A small blade, thin and topped with a skull to match the Eversaw's own, tore the mutant's robe and pinned the Eversaw's hand to a marble pillar. Russick danced backwards, waiting for the poison to take effect. The Eversaw stared at the blade that impaled his hand, head cocked in curiosity. He pulled, first, almost gently, then with growing heaves of brute strength.
Soon, the poison will overwhelm you.
No. No, it will not. My kill.
The Eversaw tore the scrap of robe and the blade with a sharp crack from the marble.
What in the name of the Emperor's golden throne is going on down there, Atta?
She ignored Adanta and stabbed forward. The Eversaw parried, bashing her phase sword aside with his power blade and raising his pistol again. Needles stitched towards Russick, but she was already moving. She jinked to the side and threw herself behind a marble pillar. The Eversaw followed. He moved like lightning, but with none of Rassic's poetic grace.
My kill! My charges!
He was monstrously fast and monstrously strong. He holstered his pistol as he charged her. Poison blades studded into him, flung with the effortless perfection bred of long practice. He didn't even slow. A right hook flew for her head. She ducked, but he caught her mane of hair. She reached up and grabbed his hand. A needle slid through the flesh of her finger and punched through the Eversaw's body glove. Genetic material flooded into her. Her bones creaked, aching with sudden changing pain. The muscles in her face flexed, then shifted. She felt a faint vibration pulse through her chest, unwanted energy piercing her movements. The Eversaw pulled, and Russick flew over his head, but she turned the motion into a flip, landing on her feet. She pulled her neural shredder from its sheath, ready to fire and liquefy his brain. He knocked it out of her hand.
No, you don't get to shoot me, false face. Callidus witch!
Talk to me, Clara. What is going on down there?
I have the situation under control.
Russick barely ducked a punch that would have torn off her head.
How?
Poison.
She stabbed another blade through the Eversaw's body glove. Green toxins and blue sheen blood leaked out.
Poison? On an Eversaw? Are you mad? You'll disrupt the other toxins running through his bloodstream. It could trigger his suicide clause and take you with him.
She hesitated for a moment, sweat suddenly beading her body. The Eversaw skull mask grinned at her, almost knowing.
My kill.
He bawled forwards, knocking into Russick, driving her over the bodies of the dead guards. The Calidus operative cracked into a marble pillar. Stars shone in her eyes, and dancing visions of skulls pulsed in time with her labored heart. She glanced at the thing that had once been Urien. It tried to stand again. Fragile wings had sprouted from its back. Pain lanced through her side.
I think the wound from Imber has reopened, Adamta. Why does this keep happening? Why do assassins from the other temples keep attacking me?
She caught an echo of the Eversaur's mind, the wreck of his personality, from her genetic sampling of him. He was broken by chemicals and drugs, the jagged edges of insanity eating into him. The Eversaur stood over the saint, still for a moment, as he stared down at the wretched thing. Thunder cracked through the sky, and the assassin flinched. Rain hammered down from leaden clouds, pounding into the marble and stone, soaking the bodies of the fallen. With an almost casual gesture, the Eversaur stamped on Urien's mutating body. A sharp crack echoed across the balcony, cutting through the fog that roiled in Rassik's mind.
Seconds the target's marked. Moving to engage.
Rassik couldn't begin to guess who the assassin spoke to as he turned and jumped from the balcony, disappearing into the plaza below.
Rassik.
She thought she heard a voice calling her name.
Rassik.
Definitely a voice.
Rassik!
The fog lifted. She pulled herself shakily to her feet. She became aware that Adamta had been calling her name for seconds, repeating it over and over in a litany of concern.
Adamta, what's going on?
At her feet lay the ruined and broken body of the would-be saint, her target. Where there should have flickered a hololithic death card, her mark of pride, the symbol she left on her kills. Instead, there was just blood-stained cloth and mutated flesh.
I don't know, Rassik. I don't know.
Troops flooded in from the plaza's entrance. Boots splashed through puddles of rainwater and blood. Water vapor formed a fog from the violent impacts. It swirled and wove, forming strange patterns. Rassik thought she could almost read it. Cries of fear erupted from the huddled remnants of the crowd.
What's the plan here, Adamta?
Rassik shifted her balance from foot to foot, clenching her hands into fists as she tested her muscles. Fury blazed through her mind, unwelcome and foreign.
Something's wrong with me, Vanus.
Your adrenal levels are spiking. There's something going on with your genetic coding, Rassik. Did you touch the Eversaur?
Briefly. Oh, by the God Emperor. Is this what an Eversaur feels like? No wonder he tried to kill me.
Wait, Rassik. I'm getting something new. A primary communication. Oh, by the Emperor's eyes and ears. This isn't good, Clara. Really, really not good. We have our next mission, and this one isn't over.
Rassik practiced her flesh shaping, touching corpses and assuming their forms while she waited for Adamta to continue. Distant echoes of other lives flashed through her memory. Pain, brief and sharp, crackled along her muscles as they reshaped. Her skin felt tight, ill-fitted. With every change, the pain lessened, grew easier as her muscles stretched.
Not going to like this. That Eversaur, operative talk. To bring him to the Traducium. We'll need him for what's coming.
What's coming?
She settled on a body, a guard whose face stared sightlessly at her from the ground. She could hear weapons fire off in the distance.
The apocalypse.
She frowned at the hyperbole.
Explain, Curai.
Later. For now, we have to find Tok.
A dull orange glow split the sky, glaring fitfully against the swiftly gathering darkness. Fires were raging across the city, despite the downpour. Alarm klaxons, old sirens standing on carved metal poles, erupted into wailing noise. Stylites that had been taking advantage of the heights to commune with the God Emperor, or whatever blasphemy held this shrine world in corruption, had tumbled and fallen to their deaths in explosions of meat and gore.
I'm following the body trail here. The Eversaur is racking up quite the kill count.
Eversaur assassins were brutes, blunt instruments. No discipline kept them caged. Through chemicals and drugs, the Eversaur Temple sought strength and fury to accomplish their kills. It was altogether too messy, too imprecise. Now, some of that fury echoed through Rasik, and she was restless.
Have you found him through any of the city's security systems?
Still looking. Any ideas where he'd be headed?
He mentioned something about secondary targets, but there was only the one.
Only the one for you, yes. There were no others that you were assigned to. There might have been more critical supporters of this benighted saint. That's why the Eversaur's here, I think. What district are you in?
Still the central. Why would the Officio send an Eversaur after Yurian's supporters? And where is his handler?
Rasik examined the buildings, noted the marble and gold that adorned every surface. Mosaics studded the walls, gleaming in the wet night.
Same reason you pose as a Primarch. It's a powerful message. As for his handler, probably dead.
Dead?
It's one of the Officio's most dangerous jobs. Once the drugs are in their systems, Eversaurs are...
Rasik absorbed this information, stepping around the ruptured bodies. People mobbed the streets. Citizens, pilgrims, and others ran to and fro with little regard. Panic gripped them in the wake of their lord's death. A woman, dressed in a throne guard officer's uniform, stood before a shadowed chapel door. She declaimed to the passing crowds.
Tevrat is blessed in the eyes of the gods. The profane rule of the false emperor ends tonight. The saint has made good his promise. The end comes. Our new masters rise.
Her words were ignored. Her exhortations fell on ears deaf to the so-called new order.
Bear with me, Adanta.
Rasik slipped into the chapel, shattering a window with a tinkle of broken glass that went unheard under the clamor of the sirens and the crowds. Rasik cracked the heavy wooden door open from the inside. She watched for a moment, ensuring that none in the streaming crowd were paying attention to the soldier. Rasik slipped her hand over the woman's mouth, cut off her blasphemy, and pulled her inside. The needle dipped into the soldier's flesh and unlocked her genetic code. A quick flash of the phase sword ended the soldier's life. A moment's polymorphine use stole her identity. Her stolen body and uniform bought Rasik easy passage through the streets. She shifted her gaze to the disciplined marching of the soldier, burdened with authority and a purpose that would brook no questions. Lightning splashed across the sky, granting the cityscape a thunderous counterpoint to the drumming rain. Someone screamed in the distance, then fell disturbingly silent. Rasik ignored the noises and followed the bodies. Torn and ripped, brutally drawn to pieces by a mind barely cognizant of its own actions, they lay in the middle of the streets, their blood mingling with the rainwater. The blood drew her eye, soothed the boiling in her thoughts.
Adanta, what drugs do the Eversaur take? How long do they last? How do I counteract them?
Honestly, I don't know. The temples aren't known for sharing information.
Useless, Vanas! You're useless!
Lumen staves gleamed ahead, cutting through the falling rain and half-dark streets with their failing gas lamps. Tiled mosaics gleamed with precious metal and gems, suggesting half-formed effigies of some obscure image of ecclesiarchial significance. A voice called from the darkness.
Hi, you there! Your business?
Clara Rusick let her stolen uniform speak for her as she stepped into the broad outlines of a shrine square. A squad of 10 throne guards shriveled under her gaze.
Oh, begging your pardon, ma'am. I didn't see your uniform.
The woman sketched a salute, as did her comrades.
Do you know what's going on?
Her voice searched for any information that made sense of the madness that afflicted her world.
Is the saint dead?
The squad leader's eyebrow was arched, her lips pursed, and her brow furrowed. Rusick watched her work through the question before she asked it.
Are you wounded? Your uniform is covered in blood.
I am fine.
As soon as the words left her mouth, Rusick knew she was in trouble. Her accent gave her away. While she could mimic other forms, steal their body shapes and expressions, she could not accommodate such a drastic shift in accent so quickly. It took some time, and the echo of the Eversaur's fury had robbed her voice of its chameleon nature. Rusick pulled her neural shredder from its sheath and extended her phase sword. She cut through one soldier's throat before he could raise his las rifle. She cartwheeled over another soldier, neural shredder firing with a muffled whine. The woman screamed as her nerves and brain were liquefied and fluid dripped from her ruptured eye sockets, nose and mouth. Rusick slid through the knot of soldiers, throwing her palm outwards, cracking through the squad leader's spine with one blow. The Calidus assassin leapt at another man. As she moved over him, she wrapped her legs around his neck and turned with the motion. Bone cracked as she completed the flip, flinging the body into two other throne guard. Her hand splayed against the wet, uneven cobblestones for balance. She felt, rather than saw, the rifles take aim for this traitor in their midst. A spinning kick cracked into the jaw of one of the men menacing her, almost tearing it free from the throne guard's skull. Her other arm reached forward, phase sword out, plunging it into a woman's chest, reaching for her heart. The sword ripped free, drawing blood that blinded another attacker. He depressed his trigger, and a thrown knife pushed his aim away from her and into his fellows. The las rifle cracked as it fired, producing puffs of steam as the beam superheated the rain. The poison ended him seconds later, his flesh necrotizing and his body collapsing into a twitching heap. Las guns clattered to the ground as the remaining assailants abandoned the fight. None were anywhere near fast enough to evade Clara Rusick, and none could be allowed to live after witnessing her in action. Her neural shredder whined once again. Two fleeing men collapsed, hands flung up to their ears to try to stop the noise. Their central nervous systems liquefied, and they died in agony. Poison knives flew from Rusick's hand, studding into the backs of more of the fleeing soldiers, unerringly finding their spinal columns. Their bodies collapsed to the ground with boneless finality. Rusick moved on.
Here we go. Two potential targets. I ever tell you how lucky you are, Calidus?
All the time, Vanos.
She stepped over the broken body of a throne guard. She almost managed to not make Adamta's temple name sound like an insult.
This is how much the Emperor smiles on you. There's a target nearby. Tevratine Throne Guard Commander. Frequenza Bathhouse near here. Goes there to unwind. Signs point to him being there tonight. If that's who the Eversaur's tracking, that's where he'll go. Sending you the relevant details now.
A green flash scrolled over her left eye. Data inloaded from Adamta's records. A map superimposed across her vision, detailing the surrounding area. Her mind, enhanced and honed by her order, read and memorized the layout. Next came a portrait, name, rank, information, everything that could possibly be used in the hunt for this target.
He's called Erwin Mesa, not native to Tevrat, commander of the Throne Guard.
Card Emperor. What a name for a local militia. For 50 years. No record of heretical or seditious actions. That could mean he's been marked either due to assumed complicity or someone merely wishing to clean house. My bet's on a careful pruning of the planet's ruling caste by someone in the Inquisition.
Arwin Mesa.
She tasted the name, whispered it, considered it, savored it. It was like a promise, a bond forming between killer and target.
I'll fight him.
The bathhouse loomed from the darkness. Thick columns supported a glowering portico covered in tiles depicting some victory of Lord Solar Macarius. Steam curled from the bathhouse's ill-set windows. Soldiers patrolled the entrances, the light of hanging lumen globes painting them as tall as giants. They were nervous, spooked. Rassik could see it in their movements. The soldiers started at every noise, jumped at every shifting shadow, but the plaza they watched was empty, devoid of the riots Rassik had seen as she had slipped through the streets of the city. Rassik watched them from the darkness offered by an abandoned reliquary cart. She learned their patterns, their quirks of personality. The click of Vox conversations was a near constant background noise. They were chattering, trying to reassure one another with their voices, acting as a reminder that they were not alone. Rassik sprinted across the plaza, avoiding puddles and refuse. Then she was among the fog billowing from the bathhouse, ducking behind a pillar. She passed a meter behind one of the guards. The trooper was never even aware of her presence. A single scrape, a small slice along the back of his calf, and he fell. She pulled the body into an alcove and began to scale the building. She jumped from handhold to handhold, hauling herself up the textured mosaic and through one of the propped windows that stood out from the walls. Met with silence, Rassik felt eerily alone. There was only the steady drip-drop of water. Fiery torches studded the walls at uneven intervals, granting an ancient air to the granite bathhouse. Every surface was slick, wet with condensed vapor. Statues stood guardian over the interior space, grand things that appeared to be weeping and sweating. Water flowed down carved robes and gathered in the hollows of silent faces.
What are you seeing, Razzard?
Nothing and no one. Where is the commander? Or his guard?
I don't know. He might not be there at all.
She padded through the marble halls, finding no evidence of life. Towels lay draped across wood-slat chairs. She pushed back the curtain into the steam heat of a sauna. There was a scent on the air, an iron note that floated through the roiling vapor. Like everything else in the building, it was muffled, hesitant as a whisper.
I smell blood.
It grew stronger the deeper she went. The whiff became a reek. The salty mineral taint of blood overwhelmed the sweet incense that billowed from censers set along the walls. Pools of bubbling water, untended, shone pink. Blood curled through them in lazy currents. It spattered the walls, giving voice to the massacre that had consumed the bathhouse. Water and blood dripped from the ceiling, turning her stolen uniform into a stained and sodden mess. She felt an itch between her shoulder blades and a spasm of pain from the wound in her flank. Her Fae sword was at the ready, waiting for a knife to strike from the darkness, ready to catch a glimpse of the leering skull mask.
Any sign of the Eversaw? Have you found his trail yet?
I have definitely found his trail. But not the target. He has done something to the commander, of that I am certain. The bathhouse is a mess. There's blood everywhere. But there are no bodies.
There was no sign of the people whose blood coated everything.
Fear. A fear tactic. A psychological shrivening meant to make a bold statement to the would-be traitors and heretics.
Rassik almost admired that. This was the sign of the Emperor's judgment. This was a statement made to keep those who would step out of line cowed and obedient.
He is trying to teach a lesson.
Of course he is. I'd do the same. But he has been here. Perhaps he has already left.
She kept the plans of the building floating across the surface of her eye. There were only a few chambers of note that she hadn't already checked. The great bathing pool lay in a vast communal chamber. It was the nearest. It beckoned through a doorway graced by caryatids, artfully painted in chipped pigment. Over the doorway pounded a waterfall, meant to serve as a bracing introduction to the heat and the warmth of the room beyond. The lumen globes were gone here. No fires flickered in alcoves. No warmth stirred this area. No heat bloomed against Rassik's thermal vision. She passed through the curtain, buffeted by the waterfall, Faye's sword held before her, ready to guard, to act. It barely saved her, as shards of hooked metal slid from the darkness, grabbed her wrist, and pulled her through into the chamber.
Snake.
The Eversaw released Rassik's arm and she stumbled, correcting and turning it into a run. She used the water-slick floor to her advantage and skidded, turned. She pulled a knife from her belt and threw it. The Eversaw flicked it away with his middle finger.
No.
The Eversaw shook his head slowly.
Why do you follow? Why do you steal?
The throne needs you.
She sprinted forward, each step assured despite the wet ground. He readied to meet her, whipping out his power sword. Muscles bunched along his arms. His legs were wide, his stance ready. He half crouched, holding the sword to block her own blade. His other hand, each finger ending in a needle-sharp knife, twitched and danced with metallic clicks. He would parry any sword strike Rassik offered. So she didn't offer. Instead, she leapt as she neared, spinning. Her heel smashed into his skull mask, cracking his head to the side. The mask caved in, shards of bone-like material crunching into his cheek. Her other foot followed through the spin, hammering into the same place. Blood oozed from the wound, thick and wet with an oily sheen. Torque lashed out, and Rassik let momentum carry her, ducking beneath his sword with boneless fluidity. Her Fae sword flickered up to block. Pain bloomed as his blow struck with terrible drug-fueled strength, breaking her guard and nearly wrenching her shoulder from its socket.
I do the throne's work now! Throne says come! Throne says kill!
It's saying kill something else! This world doesn't matter! Something else is coming! The High Lords of Terra call for us, Eversaw!
You lie!
His knife hand darted out, trying to grab her hair. She leaned back and deflected the blow. Knife tips slid across the wet marble with a squeal. The Eversaw barely even slowed. He swung his power sword and clenched fist wildly. There was a feral grace in his movements, beneath the fury. Each swing was wild, each punch thrown with all the force the Eversaw could muster, but he had a savage poise to him, a skill and training that bled through the haze of his mind. He fought like some barbarian tribesman, insane on hallucinogenics, except he did not bellow and scream dire imprecations. Rassik's muscles burned with fatigue, and sweat soaked her. She boxed Adamta.
I can't take much more of this. Any ideas?
Your biosigns are unusual. I think when you sampled his DNA, you were affected by whatever's coursing through him.
Are you saying I'm coming down from a drug high?
Essentially. And so will he in time. You need to wear him out, Clara.
Oh, easier said than done.
She danced and flowed, dodging rather than striking. She fought for his exhaustion, trying to ignore her own. Her body's weariness threatened to overcome her augmentations. This fight was such as she had rarely known. She had battled Eldar and gene stealer Xenos breeds. They had been hard and fast fights, with the speed and grace that was expected from such beings. But this, against one trained by the temples, was beyond that. Two warriors, crafted since birth to serve as the deadliest weapons in mankind's arsenal, fought and bled. Their swords met and parted in showers of sparks. Fists and feet flew in displays of breathtaking martial splendor. Tork fought because his bruised mind demanded it. Ratak, to subdue him in the name of unification, of a new purpose in service to the Throne of Terror and the agency they both answered to. Wounds stippled the Eversaur's black body glove, red lines tearing through the material, thick blood dripping and oozing. The battle had taken them back out into the antechamber.
This isn't working! I need to subdue him, Adamta!
Who do you speak to, Kalidus?
Tork's blade-fingered hand swept for her head, angry and wild. She could hear the claws slice through the air, monomolecular knives carving through fog and water vapor. Light bounced from them, the flickering glow of real firelight. They screamed for her head.
I don't know. There isn't really a precedent for this. At least not in any records I can access. You need to tire him out.
His words were calm, infuriatingly so. Her own were labored, pushed past lips that trembled with fatigue.
I am trying that, as I say. It doesn't seem to be working.
Sorry. If we knew the cocktail of drugs that they put him on, we might be able to counter them. But we don't, so we can't.
That's very useful. Thank you so much.
Tire him out. Or knock him out. That's the only advice I have.
Perfect. Wait. What is he?
The Eversaur paused. For a long moment, he stood still. No ticks marred the stillness. No twitches. No gasps of tired breath. He just stood and stared. Utterly silent. Ratak circled warily, ready for the trap, certain that Tork was preparing to erupt into violent motion.
He's not moving.
Maybe you did exhaust him.
Slowly, the Eversaur turned his back on her.
Secondary target identified.
His head was cocked to the side, as if he were listening. He turned sharply towards Ratak again, and she raised her phase sword.
Done with you!
He jumped, scrambling up one of the statues. She hurled knives at him. None connected. He moved too fast. She hauled herself up after him, burning muscles protesting. She jumped from handhold to handhold, crawling up mosaics and bas-reliefs. She reached up, hands stretched, and grabbed the Eversaur by the ankle. More of his fury flowed into her and left her mind racing. His foot lashed out and hooked under her chin, cracking up. She held on, despite the pain, pulling, trying to stop his escape. She failed. The Eversaur kicked again, and the force of the blow knocked Ratak backwards. She flicked in midair and landed on her feet, looking up to see Tork leap through a window. Broken glass tinkled, and the Eversaur was gone into the Tevratine night. Clara Ratak stood alone in the blood-soaked emptiness of the bathhouse, amidst the fog and flickering torches.
Emperor's blood, Adamta, he's gone! Again! He has another target. I need the details, and I need them now.
Frustration bled from every syllable. Not only was Rasik's body wounded, but also her pride. To be outdone by another agent of the temples was utterly galling, and after Imber and the Vindicare, increasingly, frustratingly, common. Almost before she had finished the demand, Adanta was sending data to her. It streamed across her vision. The Vanus assassin held his tongue, presumably knowing better than to bait Rasik right now. The rich details of a woman's life flashed across the Calidus assassin's eyes.
His likely target's name is Lyola Zamral, a native Tiratine who has served the Administratum with distinction for nearly 100 years. Her record speaks of tedious loyalty and a boring life spent in the service of efficiency numbers and tithe percentages.
Why her?
I don't know. Zamral seems as boring, grey, and as faceless as the organization she serves. She's as nondescript as any Administratum drone. No evidence of falsehood, no recorded predilection for heresy or blasphemy. She is plain, loyal, and unassuming.
And yet, Lyola Zamral was marked as a potential target by Rasik's masters in the officio.
Why doesn't matter? I need to get to her before Torque.
Zamral's offices, located in the headquarters of the Administratum presence on Tevrat, were relatively nearby. If she was the Eversaur's target, and Adamta was rarely wrong, he would be there soon. Rasik exited the bathhouse through the front door. Soldiers turned to question her. Blood pounded in her ears. Restless energy burned away the fatigue in her muscles. They died with broken necks.
Careful, Rasik. You touched him again, didn't you? Don't give in to the rage. Fight it. Stay sharp.
Rasik ignored him, already running through the maddened shrine city. The blood fury of the Eversaur focused her on her mission, on revenge. She passed hastily shuttered windows and caught the faint light reflecting from fearful eyes. She slipped down an alley and into an avenue where a mass of men and women in zealots' robes blocked her path. Their voices rose in glorification of the saint, blessed Urien, seemingly unaware that he had died an hour before. Bottles of alcohol swapped between swaddled hands. One of them noticed her.
Hey, you! What are you doing here? I'm talking to you. Are you with us? Are you part of Urien's army, ready to take Tevrat back from the False Imperium, huh? Ah!
Rasik punched the man as she passed. He spun and fell. The zealots were far too slow, far too clumsy to react, and Rasik pushed through them. Even without their alcoholic impairment, none of them would have been able to lay a hand on her. She moved through the center of the group. She left something behind. A little object, unnoticed, rolled at their feet. When she was 30 paces away, an explosion split the night at her back. The grenade she had left behind consumed the crowd of cultists, tore up the street, and shattered windows.
That was excessive.
They have denied their loyalty to the throne world. They have cast off their shackles of the Imperium. Their lives were forfeit anyway, whether by my hand or the retribution fleet of the Astra Militarum. And they were in my way.
That's not like you, Rasik. It's the Eversaur's influence. You need to clear your head. You can't beat him if you become him.
She stepped into another street and hesitated. Another crowd of robed people. Images of blood and broken bodies flashed through her mind. She gripped her face sword tightly.
Rasik, why are you stopping?
I need to kill the heretics.
That's not you talking, Calidus. Focus! Ignore the urges. The mission, find the Eversaur.
The Calidus assassin shook her head. The rage faded.
You're right. I need to get to Zamral.
The great hall of the Administratum, resplendent with light, stood before Rasik. The bulk of the building, sheer-sided, was graced only with the aquila and the symbol of the Administratum. No windows marred the walls. The symbolism was clear and loud. This was a fortress of faceless imperial bureaucracy, and it was under siege. A huge crowd gathered around it, torches held high. Stones and rotten vegetables clattered off the building's facade. Only a thin cordon of throne guard kept the crowd from storming the building as a sign of resistance against imperial rule. Rasik's bloody uniform was gone, replaced by the vestments of a mendicant priest who had been unfortunate enough to cross her path. The robes stank, but the opportunity they offered was priceless. Zealots, their faces masks of fury and mourning, parted as she approached, offering prayers and holy gestures. The Calidus assassin ignored them and kept her eyes downcast. She spoke quietly, hoping that the cultists would take her words for prayers. They were not.
Any sign of the Evasur?
I'm watching, but I don't see him. Maybe he gave in to those urges and is butchering his way there.
Rasik winced at the reminder of her actions.
We can only hope.
She passed through the crowd, noticed but unremarked. Her robes, her faith and certainty in this disguise, bought her passage. When people looked at her, they caught only the surface of her disguise. They saw only as she appeared to be, not the assassin beneath. She kept her arms folded, weapons hidden. Around her, men and women cast their grief and fury into the skies as they were pelted with rain.
The gods themselves weep for the passing of our savior!
It was them! The Imperium! They killed him!
The crowd surged angrily against the cordon of throne guard soldiers. The sharp whip-crack noise of firing lasguns pushed them back. Then came screams of fury and loss. The crowd sprinted forward, pushing and jostling. The whip cracks came again, thundering in a volley. Rasik watched as dozens fell, smoking holes carved into filthy bodies. But hundreds pushed forward. Thousands. The sound of lasguns ceased as the throne guard troopers were overwhelmed. Rasik used the riot to her advantage. As chaos erupted around her, she pushed through the crowd, past the spot where soldiers' bodies were being brutally desecrated, and into the halls of the Administratum building. The interior was dusty, dry and hot, bereft of any comfort such as an internal cooling system. It smelled of sweat and toil. She moved quickly. Behind her, zealots pushed inside. Startled scribes, swaddled in grey robes, fell with strangled cries as knives and shards of glass flashed.
Death to the unbelievers!
The mob wanted blood, demanded blood, and so they sought to slake that unholy thirst on the fluids of those who toiled in the name of the imperial bureaucracy.
Death to the unbelievers!
Rasik ignored them and pressed on. Work slogans covered the walls, assurances that a happy mind was a productive mind, and that calm efficiency brought the love of the God Emperor. Off a secluded hallway in the depths of the building, the Calidus cornered a hunched man, back misshapen by endless hours huddled over a desk. Her dagger flashed once, and arterial blood sprayed from his slit throat. Rasik adopted the robes and identity of the unlucky Administratum functionary. Her flesh rippled as she adopted the unwholesome pallor of a person who never saw the sun. Her skin took on the sallow and jaundiced tone that betrayed vitamin deficiencies. Slack, watery eyes completed the disguise. She roamed the hallways. The corridor she followed terminated at Zamral's office. The door resembled every other in the building. Marked in flaking gold paint on the door was the title of Adept Consul, It stood slightly ajar, dim yellow light flickering from within. Worry flashed through Rasik's consciousness. Was she too late? She pushed the door open. Inside waited the adept consul. The woman did not even glance up from her books, pen darting from one to another as ledgers were cross-checked and adjusted. A chronometer clicked away in the background. Rasik watched her for a moment, memorizing Zamril's mannerisms, her posture, her facial expressions. The assassin's features were already blurring as she approached the adept consul. The woman glanced up from her ledger books, annoyance flickering across her bland face, turning to alarm when she saw that Rasik's features mirrored her own.
I'm sorry.
Rasik's wrist twitched as she launched a poisoned dagger. Zamril fell back, and her chair clattered against the bare floor. Her heels drummed against the ground as the poison raced through her bloodstream. Frothing liquid oozed from between her lips. Rasik hauled the body away, hiding it behind the door, and lifted the chair. Then she took up station at Zamral's desk.
I'm in position, Adamta. Awaiting the target.
The door flew off its hinges, wood splintering. The Eversaw assassin was all menace, his cracked skull mask and glowing red eye lenses the vision of death incarnate. His pistol was leveled, aimed straight for Rasik's head. The Calidus watched his finger depress the trigger with a click. Then her sword was there, blocking the bolt with a pinging squeal of metal on metal. The round slammed into the wall and detonated. Shrapnel sliced through her stolen robes, cutting more bloody ribbons into the Eversaw's black body glove.
Are you again? Little sneak! My kill!
Rasik wasted no breath on a reply. Flipping over the desk, she flung the ledger books at him, ruining the carefully scrawled notes that lay within. He moved, just as he was supposed to.
Adamta was right. I can't beat you by being you. And I probably can't outfight you or outlast you, but I can outthink you.
The flat of her sword caught his temple, knocking him back, arresting his dodge. He recovered quickly. His left hook caught her knee with a sickening crack of cartilage and bone. She almost fell. She gritted her teeth through the immense pain. Her sword ripped into Torque's shoulder blade, punching through the bone, severing the tendon. The Eversaw growled, taken aback. His left arm hung uselessly at his side. Her orders were to bring the assassin back to the Traducium. They said nothing about him being uninjured.
What have you done?
You're needed! The temples call for us! We have a new target, one that requires both our skills!
He advanced on her, trying to pull her down. Strength and threat were his weapons. Tubes gurgled on his shoulders, pushing his rage to greater heights. Rasik flung a handful of daggers, bursting tubes in sprays of acrid chemicals. Their scent filled the air, brought the rage resurging.
No, you lie!
He scrabbled at the punctured tubes, tried to contain the liquid that spilled out. He failed. His right arm thundered for her in a heavy haymaker. She flowed beneath it. Already the Eversaw was slowing. A slight pause betrayed his actions, a hesitation. Still, he came on, slower, but still full of lethal intent. He punched again. She met it with her left palm. Pain thundered up her arm, but she gripped his fist and held it while her right hand grabbed his forearm. She pulled. The Eversaw grunted as his elbow popped from its socket. He staggered, sucking in deep, astonished breaths. Her foot, spinning into the side of his head, stole all thoughts from him, dropping the Eversaw into unconsciousness. She stared at the fallen assassin and whispered into the Vox.
Adamta, I'm going to need help getting us back aboard the Traducium.
Thank you. Things were calm aboard the Traducium. Indentured servants of the Officio Assassinorum, rendered blind and deaf to maintain the secrecy of the temples, scurried through its black halls. The ship was not a large one, but was deadly nonetheless. The whole thing barely shook as it left orbit around the fallen shrine world. Rassik stood in the Medicaid deck, watching the Eversaur, who was strapped to a gurney. The assassin's features, free of his skull mask, were a knot of scars and chemical intake ports. Hairless and gruesome, they were nevertheless at peace. Filters and tubes brought calming agents into the assassin's bloodstream, suppressing the killing urge. His eyes, a striking shade of green, were bright, almost feverish. A slight smile curled his lips.
A little snake.
His voice was free from the slurring.
What do you want?
To talk. How much of what I told you on the shrine world do you remember?
The Eversaur shrugged. Tubes popped free from his shoulder, dripping a sweet-smelling fluid onto the ground. Medicaid servitors clustered around the assassins.
A little. The drugs. They don't allow for much remembrance.
Oh.
A mechanical whirring filled the sterile air of the Medicaid. Treads grated over steel mesh as a trundling servitor clutching a hololith disc arrived.
Curai.
The hololith flickered into life at her greeting. The Eversaur said nothing, but merely watched with bright eyes. A world appeared, surrounded by rings of fire and smoke. Adamter's voice crackled out from vox emitters embedded under the servitor's arms. The sharp intake of low smoke colored his words as he said,
Clara, talk.
Rassik imagined him inclining his head as he said their names.
Oh, so that's my name.
You're looking at Achilles.
That way we're going.
The servitor's head wobbled to face the Eversaur.
Yes.
The hololith shifted with a brief buzz of static. Now, instead of the planet, an atrocity glimmered. At its center, wielding snakes of fire like whips, was a monster in red and gold, armored in the Terminator warplate of the Adeptus Astartes. Horns curled above its head, while runes shivered in the air around it.
This creature assails Achilles Prime. It has violated the domain of man, and its presence there demands the Emperor's judgment.
How did we come by this intelligence?
Acadian battle psyker from Achilles Prime brought the word out. Agents of the High Lords, or perhaps the Inquisition, verified.
And we're to kill that thing.
Yes.
And we needed assassins from Calidus, Eversaur, and Vanos temples to do this.
And more. A Vindicare will be meeting us in the deep void outside Achilles.
A Vindicare.
Bright pain folded into her wounded flank. Memories uncoiled in her mind. Clara Rassik felt the chill of premonition dance up her spine.